It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Deer hunting season is right around the corner in Wisconsin. In preparation, the State Department of Natural Resources is out with a new season of their web series, Wild Wisconsin, which tackles various hunting-related topics from chronic wasting disease to wild game cooking and much more. We're joined by a DNR wildlife biologist who gives us a preview of the series and shares other resources and information for those taking part in this year's deer hunt. Will you be taking part in the deer hunting season? How are you preparing for the hunt? And what do you still have questions about? What do you love about hunting in Wisconsin? And how do you think the DNR can best support you as a deer hunter? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Email address is ideas@wpr.org. You can also reach us on Twitter. We are at WPR Mornings. Jeff Pritzel is a wildlife biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He's been heavily involved in outreach with deer hunters over the last 15 years and is on the planning and production team for Wild Wisconsin. Jeff, welcome to the morning show.
Hey, good morning, John.
First of all, tell us generally about Wild Wisconsin. What is it?
So Wild Wisconsin is a video web series that can be accessed through our website, through our YouTube channel, and a couple of other platforms. And it's just the Department of Natural Resources, you know, stepping into the modern age of technology and information sharing the way more of our deer hunters want to receive it. I mean, the deer hunting, heck, hunters and fishers in general have embraced, modern technology and consuming information, you know, through their smartphones, and it's really enabled us to meet them where they're at. And we've got a few people in the department now that are skilled at that, and we're taking advantage of it.
Where did this idea come from?
Well, I guess I'd have to give the credit to Sawyer Breel, who came into the department as a communication specialist after he graduated from UW-Madison. So we had a new young gun that understood how modern information and technology and the social media platforms work. And he's since promoted in the agency, but he's still kind of the lead on being the brain trust of putting it together. And he pulled a couple of us together, some old-timers like myself that have been doing this for a long time, and taken advantage of our we've got a new videography team as well. And it's just been a perfect blend of bringing that all together to put together this new product.
And is this show specifically designed for deer hunters, or is there more general purpose?
Yeah, right now it's really targeted just at deer hunting. We're in our second season, and it takes a fair amount of effort to pull it off. And as we're getting established, which of course is our number one feature event with the deer season coming up, our hope is in future years we'll be able to expand that even beyond, hunting into other things that are seasonally appropriate.
What were some of the topics that you covered in your first season?
Well, actually, by far, the most popular episode that we had in our first year was an episode on how to butcher your own deer. We worked with the Conservation Congress Chairman, Larry Bondi, who himself is quite an experienced butcher, and so it just in a way of providing deer hunters with practical information that will help them have a better experience. There's a ton of how to butcher your own deer videos if you go on YouTube, but we got a tremendous amount of feedback from people that have consumed multiple versions of that said the one we put together was by far their favorite, and it got the most views and whatnot on social media by far. But we start with just a general introduction, what's new, what's coming up, kind of a deer hunting forecast for the season, which we've done every year in written format, and now being able to turn that into a video format just makes it more consumable.
And what are you hearing from hunters? I mean, are they liking this series, or what feedback have you been getting?
Yeah, well, I think, the main feedback we're getting is just looking at how many contacts we're getting and how many people are consuming it. And what's nice about it is if we look back at our previous ways of reaching out, to our hunting constituency, whether it's holding a meeting again, written material, or even having survey information or interaction on our website, about the most we could ever generate on a statewide basis, it maybe be 4,000 maybe 5,000 people, and looking at the participation with consuming these YouTube videos with Wild Wisconsin, you know, we're doubling that. And so it's a different audience, and we're still doing our traditional outreach as well, but we've really increased the number of people that are making contact with us. And so, again, we're getting feedback on especially the things that are more practical, not so much technical in terms of regulations and information, but, you know, we did one this year, for example. The most popular one has been how to access hunting public land, what's out there in the state. And so probably a good part of the audience for Wild Wisconsin are those newer deer hunters. And the new deer hunters aren't necessarily just the teenagers that are coming into hunting for the first time. We're one of our best growing markets, if you would, is young adults who maybe didn't grow up as hunters but are discovering hunting as a way to be involved in the whole local food movement and getting sustainable food and being more connected to your food. And so if you're an adult who didn't grow up deer hunting but are curious about it, want to get going, getting onto our Wild Wisconsin, you know, web series platform and consuming those videos is a great way to start.
Jeff Pritzel is a wildlife biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He's been heavily involved in outreach with deer hunters over the last 15 years and is on the planning and production team for Wild Wisconsin, which is a video series on the web that we're talking about, among other things. The main topic here, though, is Wisconsin's deer season. Are you going to be taking part? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Okay, we've talked about the last season of this web show. Now let's talk about this season. I want to give listeners a sense of how the show sounds. Here's host Aaron Warburton talking with Brett Owsley of the DNR in the season's first episode.
And the great thing with Wisconsin is there's tons of opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Wisconsin is an extremely diverse state. And what you see in southern Wisconsin, which is where I live and hunt, is quite a bit different than in northern Wisconsin. But the one thing that really remains stable is that there's a lot of deer. You know, Wisconsin is really well known for having trophy animals, trophy bucks. But quite frankly, there's plenty of opportunities just to get outside, see a few deer, and hopefully harvest one.
Jeff, tell us about some of those opportunities for hunting in the state. What does Wisconsin have to offer?
Well, one of the main things we have to offer in terms of the average of the size of our state and per capita, we have a lot of public land for deer hunters that don't have the opportunity or don't have access to private land or own property. So there's a great blend. We've got a ton of people, of course, that do have the privilege of having access. They either own or know somebody that owns private land, and of course, that's the majority of the property. But, all across the state, we do have access to public lands. And that just allows the total deer hunting community to be that much larger in Wisconsin. And as Brett said in the video, north to south and east to west, we have such a diverse state that landscape-wise, that if you have a certain way you like to deer hunt or a certain type of landscape you like to be in, you know, there's options of everything from marsh to deep forest to farmland, and whitetail deer are pretty adaptive, and they're found just about everywhere in this state.
Jeff Pritzel, stand by. Our conversation about deer hunting and Wild Wisconsin will continue in a moment. Jeff Pritzel, wildlife biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Are you planning on joining the deer hunt this fall? Is this an annual event? Maybe it's a family event for you. What are you doing to prepare? And what do you love about hunting in Wisconsin? Give us a call. Share your story. 800-642-1234. Send us an email, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's a fall tradition in Wisconsin. It's the annual deer hunt. Will you be taking part in this year's deer hunting season? How are you preparing, and what do you still have questions about? What do you love about hunting in Wisconsin, and how do you think the DNR can best support you as a deer hunter, 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Jeff Pritzel is with us. Jeff is a wildlife biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Jeff, we've never had more personal technology than we do now. How can personal technology be used to improve deer hunting in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a number of things that people are participating in through the use of their smartphone, including navigation in the field. I mean, if the phone is connected, of course, that's the first thing. In some of the remote places that we get to, sometimes you may not have a connection, but with GPS capabilities, people are able to use their phone to navigate, use it as their compass, keep track of their experience. And one thing we do with deer hunters is we actually have an online deer hunter wildlife survey, which allows them to share their experience with us on a day-to-day basis. When I interact with deer hunters over the years, those experiences vary. Even in it, we might be talking about a county that has really high deer numbers, high success rates, but there's always going to be individuals that don't experience that because deer aren't evenly distributed on the landscape. And so they'll often ask me, how does my experience get taken into consideration? And so now every deer hunter can share with us their individual experience through a deer hunter survey where from their phone they can say how many hours they hunted, how many deer they saw, what the weather conditions were like, and where they were at, and they can literally put it in while they're hunting. They can even share with us other critters that they've seen that helps us build a database of occurrences of everything from wolves to otters and badgers and all kinds of other creatures that they might have seen while they're out hunting. And they might even consume our videos live or look at our regulations while they're in the field.
Wow. Let's take, we got full phones, which is, for this hour of the day, is really good. Let's go
to... Well, deer hunters get up early in the morning.
Well, they sure do. So let's go to Lori in Madison first. Lori, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that there's an app out there, too, that the DNR put out that is just wonderful. You don't have to carry your book with you anymore with the regulations. You can look up every morning to see what time openings, you know, your opening shot can be and what time it closes. That's a nice benefit out there. I've used it a lot for bow hunting this year and plan to use it again for gun season. So, and my favorite part of gun season, or favorite part of hunting, is watching the woods come alive in the morning when the sun just creeps in. Little by little.
Lori, thanks. Thanks for the call. Jeff Pritzel, tell us about the app.
Yeah, I love it. I can connect with what Lori's talking about. Yeah, thanks for the plug. This is brand new for us as well, and we keep capitalizing on that word wild. And so, if you go into the app stores, depending on what platform you're using, and you search for Hunt Wild Wisconsin, this app will come up, and as Lori was explaining, when you've got it on your phone, and you can select what you're hunting, whether it's deer or waterfowl or upland game, it will, through GPS technology, it knows what part of the state you're in, and it will tell you what the opening and closing hours are right on it, and you can switch to a map feature. You can even track your travels and mark waypoints and the whole, and it'll save it in that app, and you can keep a record of your hunting history that way.
All right, Lori, thanks for that call. One of your episodes, Jeff, deals with the 2018 deer hunting forecast, and I'm sure a lot of hunters out there really want to know if this season is going to be a good one. So, Jeff, what can you tell us on that front?
Sure. Well, on that front, we've been experiencing probably a 3 or 4 year trend of increasing deer numbers, and that's connected a lot to winter severity, especially in the northern portion of the state. And where, 10 years ago up until even, 4 or 5 years ago, because of some severe winters and other things going on, the deer population had been, somewhat depressed up north. And, well, noticeably depressed for some folks. In the last 3 or 4 years, that's been trending in a much more positive direction, and that's continuing. And so, looking into this deer season, there's no reason to expect that we aren't going to see a continued increase in the buck harvest up north and maybe in the central forest as well. And in the farmland part of the state, you know, we've been blessed, I guess you'd say, with abundant deer numbers for quite some time, but blessed to the point of where it's been a challenge for many counties to actually harvest an adequate number of deer. That hasn't changed. And over the last couple of years, we've switched to a model where the county, through a community of a deer advisory council, gets together and makes decisions on what the deer season framework is going to be like in their counties. And so many of the counties have, especially in the farmland part of the state, have made the opportunity to harvest venison abundant, you know, to try to help keep a balance on that deer population.
I want to take a listen to another clip from your show. Here's DNR big game ecologist Kevin Wallenfang talking about hunting in the southern half of the state.
The great thing about Wisconsin is that our farmland areas always have a lot of deer. So, you know, pretty much two-thirds of the southern part of Wisconsin fall within what we call the farmland zone. Mm-hmm. Very productive country for deer. They tend to get less severe winters, so usually a mild winter. Mm-hmm. That's why we say it's very productive country for deer, because we get always a lot of fawn production.
So, Jeff, the southern part of Wisconsin is a better place to hunt deer, or are there similar opportunities in the north?
So, well, what's a better place to hunt deer really depends on what an individual's desire is, or what experience they're looking for, because it could be everything from how can I see as many deer as possible to how can I be as far away from everybody else as possible and have a real quiet experience. And so that's where, you know, going up north, is more about the experience of getting into the wilderness and that big country experience, and maybe not seeing as many deer because of that, but still enjoying it, you know, immensely. Whereas in the southern part of the state, the opportunity to see deer, you know, maybe harvest the deer is higher. But even as I mentioned earlier, even in the southern part of the state, deer are not evenly distributed on the landscape. So it doesn't matter what county you're in. We could be in Waupaca County, which probably got one of the highest deer harvest success rates in the country. And you'll still find hunters that unfortunately, you know, aren't going to have that experience, because there are sections of land in 40s and 80s and places that just aren't prime deer habitat. And so it's not... It's certainly not universal. You still, and that's what hunting's about, actually. So it doesn't come as a surprise that even when you've got, I mean, when you've got literally 600,000 people out there, even in a record-setting season in terms of harvest, you're going to have literally tens of thousands of people that, unfortunately, this wasn't their year. So again, it's all over the state. And I'll point out one other thing. Going back, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead. That's okay.
I was just going to say, kind of tying back to Wild Wisconsin, you just got a chance to hear Kevin. One of the things I like about the Wild Wisconsin video series is Kevin, our head deer and elk specialist, is such a personable guy. And in the video series, you know, that just comes out. And one of the things I like about the video series is people get to put a face with a name or a face with a department and see some of our staff interacting in a way where they're sharing their own experiences. And I just think it's a more personable way to interact between the department and deer hunters.
Let's take a quick call before we go to news. Devin is joining us from Portage. Devin, go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering, so when you buy your license and tags, you have to pick either private or public, or what county. Are you only allowed to hunt like for that? Because I hunt primarily private in Iowa County, but does that mean I can't go hunt public in like Sauk County?
So the thanks for the question, because that is one that comes up regularly. And so when you buy your deer hunting license, that license automatically gives you the authority to harvest a buck, and that buck can be harvested anywhere in the state. So you have the authority to hunt anywhere in the state. Along with that license, though, depending on where you want to hunt, you have the opportunity to either receive some free antlerless deer tags, or maybe purchase some antlerless deer tags. Those antlerless tags are location specific, and we also have, in trying to meter out the harvest between the private land and public land, and it's really intended to, in some cases, take pressure off of public land. Maybe the harvest pressure is too high, that's why they're separated out. You're dictated to only fill those antlerless tags in a specific location.
Devin, great question. We will be, I'm sure, getting some more questions. More callers are coming in, and you could be one of them. We're talking about the upcoming deer season. It's just about that time of year when hunters head into the woods looking for what some people call the wily whitetail. Will you be taking part in this year's hunting season? How are you preparing for the hunt? What do you still have questions about? Well, we have Jeff Pritzel with us. Jeff's a wildlife biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and he can answer your questions. What do you love about hunting in Wisconsin? Tell us your hunting story. Maybe it's a family tradition. You go out in the woods as a group, go out hunting, and just being together and doing that might be the fun part for you. Share your stories with us. How do you think the DNR can best support you as a deer hunter? Have you checked out Wild Wisconsin? Tell us what you thought about their web series. 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network, Wisconsin Public Radio. Deer hunting season is right around the corner. We're talking about that with Jeff Pritzel, wildlife biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Will you be taking part in this year's deer hunt? And what do you love about hunting in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. We have been talking a little bit about the DNR's web series, Wild Wisconsin. There's another episode that I wanted to talk to you about, Jeff, and that is it deals with how reading the landscape can improve your hunt. Talk about that and what hunters should be looking for before the season even starts.
Sure. So, that's one of the things that's attractive, or one of the draws to hunting, is that sense of the skill that it takes to put yourself in the right place at the right time. And I think we think about hunting as the pursuit of the animal, but the hunt starts with the pursuit of a place to be. And so that's as enjoyable, or can be as enjoyable, as the actual act of hunting for the deer. It's trying to hunt for that perfect place and getting to know the land, and then relating that to how the deer are using the land, really just is a skill set that, as you get better at it, just is a really a fulfilling thing to become, that woodsmanship and that understanding of animal behavior as it relates to the land, and just becoming more connected to the land itself and understanding vegetation, because the plants that are growing there are really what are going to determine whether or not deer are going to be there. And so it's just becoming more connected to the landscape. And so that episode is really about that fundamental part of hunting.
Well, here's DNR deer biologist Kurt Rollman talking about one thing in particular to look for, and that is pinch points.
So a pinch point is something, generally it has something to do with the land, either topography or the vegetation on land. Either it's two farm fields coming close together and there's just a little strip of trees or shrubs, or if it's two ridges kind of coming together, something that's going to funnel those deer, force them in a direction, and you're just capitalizing on that for a hunting spot and good stand location.
So Jeff, outside of pinch points, what else is good to look for when reading the landscape?
Well, it's coming to understand where the deer are likely to bed down, and then where they're going for their food. And during the gun deer season, especially just because of the number of people that are out there, deer will change their behavior in terms of looking for sanctuary or refuge where they're not going to be disturbed. And so some of the more successful deer hunters these days look at the landscape a little differently during the gun season and kind of explore some kind of odd places where you wouldn't necessarily think a deer would be, but it's the deer are going there because hunters tend to not bother them there. And so it's that combination of behavior of the animal and where they need to be at a certain time. But it really centers around where they're sleeping and where they're eating and getting in between those spots.
Jeff, what is the DNR doing to improve both private and public hunting land in Wisconsin?
Well, on the public land standpoint, and working with private landowners as well, white-tailed deer do better in younger forests. They're a species of the forest edge and of the younger, more productive lands. And the trend over the last number of decades is that our forests are aging, and as they get older, they become less productive for white-tailed deer. So we've got an initiative on public lands that, in cooperation with the timber industry, is increasing our timber sale rate and doing timber sales in a way that create more young forests, so we have some more diversity on the landscape. And it's kind of a win-win situation. There's a lot of other species of wildlife that do well in young forests. And then we've got a new program, relatively new program, it's probably 4 or 5 years old now, called DMAP, which is a Deer Management Assistance Program, where private landowners can sign up with the department to have a deer biologist in the forest to come out in consultation and write a plan for them on their property that will help them improve the habitat, which, again, usually centers around how do we change the vegetation to make it more attractive and productive for whitetails.
Well, we had a caller, Brian in Foxville, who couldn't stay with us, but what he wanted to ask about was how public lands are classified with different acronyms. He says he can't quite tell where he can hunt when looking at land on the DNR website. So, Jeff, where can someone like Brian get more information on where he can and cannot hunt?
Well, I agree that there's such a diversity of public lands. Most of them are accessible for public hunting, but not all of them. There are some exceptions. So really the best thing to do is if you get to that point of where, I know where the properties are and I have questions about whether this parcel is or isn't open, is to contact the local wildlife biologist or if it's a state park or a different type of property, get on the DNR's directory, look up, you can just say what county you're interested in, what the topic is, and it'll pull up the names and phone numbers of the local staff and just talk directly to the local staff.
What else would you like hunters to keep in mind before heading out on their hunt this year?
Well, I think it was kind of mentioned in some of the introductory things, but just that keep in mind embracing the opportunity we have in this state, which is right up there with the best in the country, and just appreciating that chance to to pursue your own individual goal as far as what experience you're looking for. And again, that's everything from it might be the social aspect of it, of getting together with friends, or it might be that ultimate solitude of being all by yourself in the still and watching the sun come up, as Laura said earlier.
Yeah, and it's also about staying safe out there as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the two things, we've had a really good record and trend in a reduction of hunting accidents. Most of those hunting accidents are either self-inflicted or within their own party, and that just comes down to following the rules of safe firearm handling, which everyone has been indoctrinated with through their education class, which is really the reason why we've seen that safety record getting better and better every year. And we want at the end of the year.
And remind us one more time where we can go to see Wild Wisconsin or listen to the podcasts.
Sure. If you just go to the DNR website, in the search box, you can just type in Wild Wisconsin, or if you just type in the word connect, it'll take you to a page that gives you access to our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, Instagram, the whole nine yards. We're on all of those social media platforms, and you
all
can
right.
access that. We've got podcasts as well there, too.
Okay. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time this morning.
You bet, John.
Jeff Pritzel, wildlife biologist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And to see Wild Wisconsin, the series we've been talking about on the DNR's website. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network, and it's time for Wisconsin Life. Today's story is about a deer hunter trying to carry on a legacy. Here's Erica Janik.
Ron Weber first drove deer out of the woods as a teenager with his brothers. His brothers have since passed away, but Weber is still driving deer.
I first made the drive at 17 with my older brothers, Gary and Jim. We'd seen few deer and were in danger of going home with no venison. The drive required Jim and I to push through a half mile of alder and cedar creek bottom towards Gary on the edge of the hardwoods. I'd never been in these woods, but I felt safe knowing Jim was beside me and Gary was waiting on the other side. Moving through the woods, I started to doubt myself. Just as panic was setting in, a shot rang out in front of me. Further ahead, I saw orange off to my right. Jim said it must have been Gary who shot. As we gathered around the deer, I was happy that after an exhausting season of dawn-to-dusk hunting, we had at least this deer to show for it. It was a small success, but a success. Over the next 30 years, we continued to make the Crick Drive. As deer numbers grew, this drive became one of our favorites. Arriving at camp in 2011, I wasn't greeted by Jim sitting with the others at the table. As we talked on the phone through the fall, he said he had a stubborn virus. One coughing spell from the couch told me it was no virus. Instantly, I knew the bill had come due on 40 years of smoking. Jim didn't make it out the entire week. On Saturday, I knew I had to get him out one more time. As I finished the drive and came up on Jim, he struggled to stand. Walking behind him, it broke my heart to realize the hard-charging hunting hero I had known all my life was gone. He passed away just after Christmas, 2012. In 2013, a tornado reduced the Crick area to a twisted mass of downed trees. Nature was reminding me that change is inevitable, and death is a very necessary part of life. I figured I'd never make the Crick Drive again. I was wrong. That fall, I got news that Gary, also a smoker, had been diagnosed with an inoperable tumor on one of the major arteries in his lung. Gary came to deer camp as always, but had to go back on Monday for a treatment. He wasn't able to hunt opening day, and Sunday was his last day. I came back to camp around noon and talked Gary into going with me to make a drive. I had to. We went to the Crick. Gary stood in the same spot Jim had 2 years earlier. I made my way through the twisted trees. Nothing looked the same. There were times I wasn't sure where I was going, but I felt Jim by my side. It would be nice to say that Gary got his buck, but he didn't. Fairy tales don't happen very often. 2 weeks later, his artery ruptured. My other hunting hero had left me too soon. With the heart and soul gone, others stopped coming for the annual pilgrimage to the cabin on Lake Namekagon. I hunt the big woods by myself now, but I'm never alone. There is too much history, too many memories for that to be. I've never smoked and enjoy good health, so God willing, I have many more hunts left. I still have the drive to finish. Like that long ago November day, I'm sometimes scared and not sure where I'm headed. But I feel safe knowing that Jim is always beside me and Gary is waiting on the other side.
Ron Weber is a forester in Weyerhaeuser. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life on our website, wisconsinlife.org, and on Facebook. I'm Erica Janik.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Maureen McCullum. I'm John Munson. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Wisconsin Public Radio is going beyond the ballot, talking to hundreds of people in communities across the state in the lead up to the election. We want to know what you really care about, and we're using what we've learned to guide our election coverage. Tell us, are you going to vote in this election? What's the single most important issue to you? Do you feel like your elected officials reflect you and the community you live in? Share with us by calling 800-642-1234. When did government do something that helped you? Or how about when decisions hurt you? What's going on in your community that nobody's talking about? You can email us, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Tell us what's going on in your community that you feel is overlooked. What issues or developments need more attention? Again, 800-642-1234. It's not getting as much attention as the races for governor or U.S. Senate, but the campaign for Wisconsin Attorney General has major ramifications. Republican incumbent Brad Schimmel is vying for a second term. He's being challenged by Josh Call, a Democratic attorney from Madison, and Wisconsin Public Radio has profiles on both the candidates. First, here's Laurel White's report on Attorney General Brad Schimmel.
When the governor and state legislature created Wisconsin's new Office of School Safety in the Department of Justice this year, they gave Schimmel plenty to talk about. He's visited school after school, announcing awards from the office's new $100 million grant program.
When the tragedy of Parkland, Florida happened, we had a plan and we were ready to work together.
It's become a staple of his reelection message. So has the DOJ's work fighting the opioid epidemic.
In Wisconsin, is leading the nation in our efforts to battle this opiate crisis.
Schimmel, who's a Republican, has done dozens of public events on those two issues, which are typically seen as fairly bipartisan. He's also touted his endorsement by bipartisan groups of Wisconsin sheriffs and district attorneys, which he says shows he can and has reached across the aisle. Zach Rhodes, the communications director at the Republican Attorneys General Association, which has spent heavily on Schimmel's reelection campaign.
When you're law enforcement's choice, including Democrat law enforcement, I think that sends a message that they want you back in office, you've earned it.
But not everyone agrees that Schimmel has kept politics out of the office. In August, 45 assistant attorneys general signed a letter saying that Schimmel has been too political. Many have also spoken out about morale being low at the DOJ. Dan Steer worked for two state attorneys general in the 1970s and 80s, one a Democrat and the other a Republican. He said those who signed the letter have seen a lot of AGs come and go, but they've never felt the need to speak out like they did against Schimmel.
He has blatantly politicized the office. There's no question about that in our minds. Everything is done for partisan reasons.
Schimmel has also come under attack from Democrats for keeping Wisconsin out of a lawsuit against opioid manufacturers. Instead, he says he's working to get an out-of-court settlement from the companies. Schimmel says that option is quicker and cheaper for both parties.
We hope that they're going to see that and take advantage of an opportunity to have positive public relations by being part of the solution.
But Schimmel has received more attention in this campaign for a case he has joined, a multi-state suit that seeks to overturn the Affordable Care Act. It's a lawsuit Schimmel has admitted would end the federal mandate for insurance coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. That mandate is very popular in Wisconsin. But he says the Affordable Care Act is failing, and his lawsuit would prevent what he called a slow bleed.
The ACA is falling, and it's not anything to do with what any court does. It's failing. All of the promises that were made are not coming true.
Schimmel has also taken criticism from the left for some of his spending in office. That includes $10,000 spent on commemorative coins for the Department of Justice staff. The coins got some national attention from the HBO show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
If you live in Wisconsin, just Google Brad Schimmel $10,000 coins, and you'll learn about how your AG managed to spend 10 grand of taxpayer money on coins reading KAED, which stands for his actual personal motto, kicking ass every day.
Schimmel has defended the coins, saying they reward law enforcement heroes that keep people safe. He says his endorsements show he's the choice of law enforcement and hopes voters take notice. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Laurel White.
And I'm Sean Johnson. Josh Call announced he was running for Attorney General back in April of last year. He's been regularly name-dropped by high-ranking Democrats, including Congressman Mark Pocan.
I have not been this excited about a new face in politics in a long time. Josh Call is going to make a great Attorney General for Wisconsin.
That was back at the state party convention in June. And yet, in the closing days of his campaign, polling suggests many voters are still learning about Call. He started running ads a few weeks ago to introduce himself.
I'm Josh Call. As a federal prosecutor, I put away murderers and drug traffickers, and now I'm running for attorney general.
Call was an assistant U.S. attorney in Baltimore. He's emphasized that experience in tough-on-crime ads that are mainstays of attorney general races. Call spent fewer than 4 years as a federal prosecutor. Most of his professional experience is in private practice.
Every place he's been, he's kind of just risen very quickly toward the top.
Chuck Curtis works with Call at Perkins Coie, a national law firm with strong ties to the Democratic Party. He says he first met Call 15 years ago when they worked together at another law firm while Call was still in law school. Curtis says Call has succeeded everywhere, including at Yale and Stanford Law. He worked with Call in 2016 on a lawsuit that overturned several Republican-authored voting laws in Wisconsin, including restrictions on early voting. Curtis says Call has handled voting rights cases in other states, including Ohio, Virginia, and North Carolina.
He's one of the go-to voting rights lawyers, and he's been pulled in precisely because he is so good at what he does, and he is so talented in the courtroom.
Call says if he's elected attorney general, he'll join other states in lawsuits that protect consumers. Call says he would have joined a multi-state lawsuit that seeks to reinstate rules that prevent large broadband companies from blocking or slowing access to certain websites. And he says the state should have joined a multi-state suit involving private colleges.
When protections for students who are defrauded by predatory for-profit colleges were rolled back, a number of AGs stepped up and took action, but our AG was nowhere to be found.
Call knows what the Department of Justice can do. He's the son of the late Peg Lautenschlager, Wisconsin's former attorney general. But Call's campaign has been less about him than it's been about Attorney General Brad Schimmel. Call says Schimmel made mistakes by joining multi-state lawsuits to overturn the Affordable Care Act, clean air rules, and federal overtime protections.
So our AG, with our tax dollars, has fought against overtime pay for middle-class families in Wisconsin.
Call has also gone after Schimmel for not moving more quickly on dealing with thousands of untested rape kits while prioritizing other cases. Schimmel announced in September that his office had eliminated the backlog. He's played up his own experience as a prosecutor in the Waukesha County District Attorney's Office and the Department of Justice. When the two debated, Schimmel pressed Call on his lack of experience as a prosecutor in Wisconsin.
How many times have you made a closing argument to a jury in a criminal case?
So far, Call hasn't flinched, sticking to his strategy. Call, who's 37, has risen fast in the world of law. Voters will decide Tuesday whether he takes the next step in politics. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Sean Johnson.
WPR reporters Laurel White and Sean Johnson brought you that story as part of WPR's ongoing Beyond the Ballot series. You can be part of the Beyond the Ballot project as we tell stories all across Wisconsin. The number for the hotline is 877-782-8942, 877-782-8942. You can also share with us at WPR.org/ballot, WPR.org/ballot. And while you're online, learn about the races and candidates running this election season by visiting WisconsinVote.org. It's a partnership between Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. Wisconsin Vote, your source for accurate, up-to-date reporting on the 2018 midterm elections. And tune in to WPR Tuesday night, November 6th, for live election coverage. NPR reports on national races starting at 7 o'clock. When polls close in Wisconsin at 8, Sean Johnson, Frederica Freiberg, and Rob Ferret anchor Wisconsin Public Radio's coverage of statewide elections, including the races for governor, U.S. Senate, and attorney general. We'll be here throughout the night with election results and analysis. That's live election night coverage starting at 7 o'clock. On Wisconsin Public Radio. This is The Morning Show on WPR. I'm John Munson.